Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Kev's Perspective. I'm your host, Kev Lowe. Today, we have a good guest, man. He's a good friend of mine. His name is Nate Millions. He's also known as Nathan Mills, a real estate agent. He's a singer, songwriter, recording artist, clothing line entrepreneur, and now a successful real estate agent. And he's from Tennessee originally, now residing in Minnesota. He's always had a great passion for music at a young age, and now he's engaged. He's living that adult life he's always wanted to. He's making music casually, but he's being a boss as a real estate mogul. Welcome, my brother, Nate Millions. Chia. Damn, I'm so glad I waited. I just gave Nate Millions the fucking clap. What's good, Nate? How are we fucking doing?
Received. I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm a little frustrated, obviously. We just got done talking about how my internet's a bunch of poop. So
yeah, we're going to figure that out. And I have the same internet, so I come over here to steal my brother's. He has like the... Charter fucking business class internet, so it's real good.
Yeah, we're just gonna.
Dude, I gotta say real quick, I like the. Is that orange or red? The little.
This.
Little spit, no, the spit guard you got on your microphone. Oh, this. There.
It's fucking red, dude. I stole it from Kato.
That's fire. I like that.
Yeah, dude. No, I found it in a CLM case, and I was like, "Hey, this is like an old mic, so I'm just gonna snatch this real quick and
steal it." Yeah.
Throw right on this bitch. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I mean, after all the shit I've done for Kato, I think he could do this.
You earn that. Yeah, you earn that piece of fucking sponge right
there, nice
buddy.
Foam, yeah, dude.
That nice piece of foam.
So, okay, everybody, this is fucking Nate Millions, Nathan Mills, however you want to fucking call him. I've known Nate for a long time. I've known Nate, I think, since 2014 is one of the earliest I could date it back when he was opening for Mod Sun in my hometown of Savage, Minnesota, at a little bar called Neeson's. I think it's still
Neeson's.
There.
It is still there. Okay. I drive by it often. It's still there.
Yeah, fucking
still brings
trash.
Back a lot of memories too, man.
Dude, honestly, a lot of your shit was there though. Like you held your cousin's show there.
Yeah,
and, like,
that's place has a lot of memories, man. It was like a fucking biker bar in the front. Yeah. We'd be throwing like rager hip hop shows in the back.
Yeah, dude. No, it was
so
tight.
Random.
It was tight. No, and the whole way I met Nate was when he walked through the crowd after he was done. I snatched his little pretty boy ass up, and I was like, "Hey, bro, like, good shit." And he was like, "Yeah, it's all good." And that's when I became, like, I think 2 days later after that show, I became a street team member of the Loft of Millionaires way back
when. Yeah, that's when we were building, man.
I think I was the 10th member of that.
Yeah, and then at one point, dude, fucking grew. Like, we had, like, 153 members, yeah. Like, across, you know, Midwest and some in L.A. and some in Florida.
Yep.
It was great. And then it just became a lot to juggle. And then, you know, it's street teams are they're a tough thing because it's, like, you don't want to, like, give them the perks of being a street team member if they're not putting in the effort
right.
of sharing things and promoting, like, the way you want them to. And then people get offended when you're like, oh, you're not doing enough. So it just became a lot to juggle. And then I don't know, kind of fizzled out.
Yeah, it definitely fizzled out. Well, then it fizzled out when, I guess, LAFO was a thing for a while. I think once the brand, because way back when it was Nizzy Nate Millions when you first started.
Yeah.
And that's, like, where the LAFO was, like, right. I mean, you still got the tattoo, don't you?
Yeah, I got the million stat right here, buddy. I ain't going nowhere.
So I mean, like, that was way back when. And then after that, you know, I think we just slowly developed into Nate Millions and then just to have more professional name, right?
Yeah, and it was, you know, like, Nizzy Nate was, like, that was from high school because everyone was like, you rap like Drake when Drake was, like, becoming, you know, like, a superstar in those times. Like, we're going to call you Nizzy Nate like Drizzy Drake. And it just, like, I didn't know. Dude, when I started making music, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Like, the music was terrible.
Right.
Like, I'm talking about, like, high school when I had, like, my first mixtape that I was, like, burning copies, handing out in the high school. And it was just, like, if I knew then what I know now,
right.
And I could go back and retake my entire career. Yeah. Like, I would have waited 3 years into my career to start putting things out. And obviously, everything's changed so much. Like, we were releasing shit on, like, Datpiff and, you know, fucking Hot New Hip Hop, like, sites that, you know, half these young kids have probably never fucking heard of.
No. And, like, one thing me and Jonas pointed out was DJ Booth was, like, a big thing for you as well.
Yeah.
And, like, they were actually, like, pretty fucking fire. Jonas got his first start there, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the thing. Yeah.
I was just kind of surprised. So that's old Nate. I kind of just zoomed past that because there's a lot more shit I want to talk about.
Let's just skip that shit.
Well,
buddy.
Fuck that shit.
Get right
I mean,
into the fucking fuck that. Juicy stuff.
That's what I want, bro. I'm done with Nizzy Nate Millions, bro. Because as Nate Millions, you know, you did a lot of big shit, bro. Like, I'm not gonna underplay what you do. I think you. I'll be honest, bro. I think you really like sell yourself short when you were an artist, bro. Because you may have not gotten the heights you want to reach, but dude, I mean, you share the stage with who? MGK, French Montana, Huey Mack. Mod Sun, Dizzy Wright. I mean, the list goes on, right? And not just sharing the stage with those people like you just threw on, like you were a big part of those shows.
Yeah, I toured, you know, multiple tours with like Webby. Webby became a good friend of mine too. Yep. And then we did the Mike Studd tour with like him and Futuristic.
Yep.
Moosh and Twist was on that tour. So yeah, we did some headline tours too, but I'm always like, no matter what I'm doing, like even now doing real estate, like I'm my own biggest critic. Like I'm doing great in terms of being in my first year of real estate, you know, probably better than most people do their first year in real estate. But same time, I'm always like the kind of person where I'm like, fuck, I'm not doing enough. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that's just my personality. And I think it's a good thing and a bad thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's good because you're always striving to be a better version of yourself, and it's bad because then you're so critical on yourself, it's hard to enjoy, you know, the successes and the accolades that you do have.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, not just that, though. I think one of the biggest things, too, not just the people, like, because, again, everyone can say, like, I share the stage with this person. But not a lot of people can say they started a clothing brand that actually went fucking pretty big, in my opinion, as well.
Yeah, I went bonkers, dude. Again, if I could go back, I think I would have fucking kept Swago going.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Instead of music, man. Like, that was like...
Swago's big as fuck, bro. Like, y'all had to like... Huge. I mean, I think the store was like a cool thing, but when you guys were killing it online, like that was fucking big. At shows, dude, I can't imagine how much money you made on merch at shows, because your merch...
Well, and we would do like this shit because like... Our break-even point on so many of that, because, you know, we had a wholesale distributor to get, like, our blanks from, and then I had a lady, a family friend of ours, that would do, like, all the embroidery stuff, and then we had a company that did the screen printing for super cheap that we knew everyone, so, like, the connections were all there. So we would just drop the price points. Like, anytime I'd be doing a show, we'd just haul, like, a fuck ton of this stuff and be, like, just, you know, out the door, like, all right, we'll drop our prices. It looks... comparatively to other artists' merch, when you go there, it's like $10 for a hoodie, but like to us, like we're making $5 off each one then.
Right.
That's how you move volumes, you know what I mean?
Well, right. And that was the smartest thing to do, because I mean, even when I was selling merch, the only merch I had was a hat. And I remember watching your price point for a hat. It was like, what, like $12 max, right?
12. Yeah. Like that was like fucking online too. That like included shipping, but like at shows, sometimes we'd be doing like the nice ass, remember like the weed leaf and like the space themed ones that we had on the bills. Sometimes like $5 to $7 it shows. If I'm like, fuck it, let's move them, you know,
bro. That's what I'm saying. Like for me, I remember my first hat I sold for $20, bro.
Yeah.
Like, and that was the best I could do. I looked for many distributors. I was like, bro, I'm not dumb too. Like I'm a businessman. So I understood like what was going on, but that was me making $2. I was like,
exactly.
Dumb.
Yeah. And it was funny, dude. Cause like when we'd be on the road and like people, like couple tours I did one with Webby in 2017, I want to say. Yeah, 2017. Mm-hmm. I think that was the last tour me and Webb did together. But anyway, these shows, you know, where the people, like, they're there to see him, but, you know, I go on right before him, and, you know, they kind of get the vibe. They're like, oh, these two are homies or whatever. And they come up to you like, bro, you killed it. Like, they'd see the merch prices and be like, $5. Like, no, I'm going to give you $50 for this. You know, you get the drunk motherfuckers. It's like, all right, buddy. Like, fuck. I had that happen like numerous times where someone's like, no. So it almost tricks your mind. You're like, dude, you're worth way more than this. It's like, all right, well, give me what I'm worth then, you know?
Well, and I wish people had that same mindset when it came to like when your mixtapes came out, because mixtapes back then were like the way to make some bread, I think, was a way back when, like, physical tapes.
Pedal them out the trunk, dude.
Yeah, exactly. And like, but like people wouldn't buy those, weirdly enough. Right. That's why I think your merch was like killing it.
There's so many, like, there's a weird complex behind that, though. Like, back in those days, like, you go to New York City, and there's always a dude trying to sell you his mixtape for, like, $20 on the street corner. It's like, bro, why would I give you $20? I don't know who the fuck you are, and you think I'm going to give you $20 for your CD? Like, bro, fuck yourself. There's no way.
Right. And so what I wanted to go with that Swago direction was, what ended Swago? Because I was pissed.
Honestly, curious. It was me trying to juggle... Too many things, too many balls in the juggling rotation, dude. It was just like, but now hindsight's always 20/20, buddy. So it's like, you know, I probably could have handled more, but you know, my priorities were fucked when I was, you know, and you know,
fucked.
Me, buddy. Like, yeah, I was a fucked up guy for a while. And you know, sobriety's helped me like compartmentalize things a lot better now, I think.
Yeah.
I can, you know, I can navigate through a lot more things being thrown at me now than I could then, because my priorities were like, all right, like, you know this. Like, I'd be like, all right, I worked enough. Let's get fucked up. You know?
Yeah, bro. Well, it wasn't even the drinking thing, though. Like, I remember, because, again, obviously, that was, like, one thing you focus on. But, like, another thing was, like, way back when, first time I met Nate, he was telling me about an acid trip he was coming down from.
Oh, yeah.
We were playing basketball with Joe, and you were
I remember that day. Yeah, dude. I was out of it for, like, 3 days. Like, that was, like, I thought I was never going to come down.
That's what you said. You're like, I don't even know if I'm fine. I don't know what's going on.
That was a fucking Aiken Road, dude. I remember that day.
Yeah, dude. No, that was my first impression of Nate Millions, everybody. Yeah.
Hey, it was authentic at the time, you know?
Yeah, right. No, that was chill. Okay, so after the whole career, right, so we just highlighted some of that shit. You know, you graduate that media arts degree in entertainment business, and, you know, you took that pretty fucking far, and a lot of people are like, oh, he retired, which, like, people have asked me, like, has he retired? I'm like, well, did he say it? Because I don't remember him saying it. I just remember him releasing Psychosis and then kind of just doing his own thing.
Yeah, that's kind of like that. Mentally, for me, that was like, all right, that was such a fun video. Like, I don't feel like that video got enough shine, in my opinion.
Fire, bro.
Like, that video, like, took us a long fucking time to shoot because we had to, like,
the setup was insane.
Yeah, everything, like the lighting, like the way we did, like the blood splatter when it was coming out in the scene with the butcher knife and all that. The hanging scene. This is why I feel like I put so much effort in my videos that I legitimately was fucking hanging myself in that scene because I was like, I want it to look real. Now, not like all the way. I had my feet a little bit on something. And I'd kick the stool out a little bit so that it would, like, go back and watch the video, dude. You can see my face is just purple as fuck. And, like, Brady and Trev are like, holy fuck, dude. Like, that
my
looks...
My God.
Yeah, and I've always just been, like, an extremist. Like, especially in, like, the psychotic Nate videos I've always done. Like, you got to play the role, you know? I always felt like I played a good psycho, too.
I think a lot of you and Travis put a lot of time into those videos. Like, again,
yeah, more than people would understand, dude. It's crazy.
And, like, I mean, even like what, like something like, because again, Psilocybin Asylum was like arguably people say one of your biggest songs, right? But
yeah, I technically was.
And you got, I got so much to say about that because I remember before you released it, I was on Jija.com and I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. Dude, I remember they said, because we put it like back in the day with Jija, they had like, put your, like, that was like my go-to site for like fucking beats back in the day, like before all the other ones like on SoundClick kind of popped up and stuff. They were like one of the bigger ones, I'd say, and they had more of like a variety of things. It wasn't like a certain style, you know, or like online producers are like that. And I remember they used to be like, send us your songs back, and then they were like pushing that song so hard. They're like, this is amazing. And
Yeah,
it was, they, like, even on Twitter, they were, like, tweeting me all the time. Like they were trying to cloud up off of the fact that, someone actually had a good song to one of their...
Yeah, that site was trash. Because I remember, like, now it's trash because it's just, like, it's just a hub of other people's music. It's not even, like, anyone. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's Jija.com for you folks. But now, now fucking, so Nathan Mills, real estate agent. Again, we didn't really address he's retired or not. Who fucking knows? He'll make music. It'll come out when it comes out. Honestly, like, at this point, bro, I would do exactly what you're doing. You've been making music for, what, a decade? And, like... If you listen to his old shit from like when you were working with like Joe Fest way back when, right, doing acoustic shit all the way to like Psychosis, like you've come a long way in that journey.
Oh, so, yeah, it was definitely, it's a journey, no doubt, man.
So it's like, okay, he went through all that shit. Now he like wants to like live up and actually like live life.
It became like, it's more of just like financial freedom at that point though. Like everyone who's been in music for that long understands that there has to be like a point where you're like, all right, I can't make this the focal point of my life anymore. Like you start to want different things when you get older. You know, I have a fiance now. We bought a house in February. Right. We plan on doing a lot of things together. And it's like life on the road, dude, touring kind of just like, it was so monotonous after a while that I was just like, fuck this. Like I am not going on another fucking tour to make, come home with fucking $5,000 in my pocket after going and fucking doing that for like, no. Like it's not going to happen again. Like, so that was kind of like that last headline tour I did. And it wasn't like it was an unsuccessful tour or anything, but you come home, you crunch the numbers and you're like, fuck, by the time we pay this expense, this, you know, van, all the hotels, gas, it's like, well,
you walk out with a couple grand, maybe. Right.
And it's like, fuck, what did I just do all that for? Like I could do, if I worked this hard at anything else, I could make way more money than this. And that's just how I looked at it. So
hence real estate.
Right. So I decided to pursue something that I've always been passionate about that, you know, people might not know. Like there's so many people that were like, don't be a fucking real estate agent, man. Like, you're so good at music. And it's like, yeah, but it's not fucking paying my bills, buddy. It's not paying my mortgage, you know? So.
Well, right. And that's why I'm saying, like, I think now that the stress is off of music a little bit, I'm excited to see what you actually just create just to put out. Because I know that's always going to be a part of you. Like, we've talked about it. Like, you're not just going to stop. That's something you went to fucking school for. Why would you just be like, oh, yeah,
well,
whatever.
It's funny, dude, because, like, people don't even know. But, like, I put out that fucking mixtape, Wash Your Hands, in, what was that, March or April, whenever, like, coronavirus was going on. And I told, like, dude, I wrote most of that in literally, like, 3 days. We recorded it. And then I was like, that was just so fun for me because I didn't have to, like, worry about the promoting it and, like, trying to build all this hype. Like, I was like, let's just put this project out and see how it's, you know, how people feel about it. And, I mean, it didn't do numbers like my, you know, like other shit that I sit there beating people over the head with. But honestly, you go listen to that project start to finish and half the beats, like, Simon did like 9 out of 12 songs on there.
Right.
So it was just, you know, shit that I was like, fuck it, I'm going to write to Simon, send me some beats. And, like, it's just super organic. And in my opinion, it was when you take your head out of, like, oh, I'm not trying to do this to please anyone else. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to do this for clout or for recognition. Like, you just make something that's just fun, and that was like a really fun project to me. And dude, Big As It Gets, BMDMPM, what's the other song on there that's just absolutely fire? Oh, Hey Did We Win It. Those are like the fucking dopest songs, I swear to God. Like, those,
well, some of the dopest shit you've written in like a minute. I've seen you write, like, it's fucking stupid. Like, so I'll sit there, like, and when I used to be an artist, people, I used to like crunch shit. Like, I used to like have to count my syllables, like fill them in. Like, I've just never been like that talented to come up with shit on the spot. I remember me and Nate made a song together, and he was like, yeah, I made this today in like 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, he's like, I'm actually just finishing it now. I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like, good for you, bro. It took me a month. So appreciate it.
It's funny. We do, me and Travis sitting on a song right now that we were recording the other day, just a stolen ass YouTube beat. But it was so funny because I was just bored and I was sitting there, and they have this ad now, you know, like the tight beat, you know, like those things, they got like a fucking SpongeBob graphic on them or whatever. So I'm like, they have this ad that plays before these, you know, tight beats, and it's like, are you on YouTube right now looking at beats that say they're free? Well, just so you know. And I was like, dude, this is perfect. Like, it would be so awesome to like rip that, sample that, and then just go right into a fucking SpongeBob type beat.
Yeah, fuck yeah, bro. And then what you did? You guys did a song with that, didn't you? There was one song that, like, actually you and Brady did that did fucking really well. I forgot the name of it though.
Was it
Straight Hunnids? Straight Hunnids, that's
what it was. Yeah, we stole that. I know we stole that.
And like live, like everyone was like, Straight Hunnids, Straight Hunnids. And I'm sitting here like, bro, what? Like, it's like the least amount of effort he put into a song, bro.
Oh, dude, it was,
Same, you know, funny enough, Bless Up too. I know that was No One, right? What is his name? No One Noah.
Yeah, that's, so what's funny is the sample that's in that beat is from the, there's a specific sound in it that's from, but it's in the Waves, the first Waves from the Waves project.
Right.
It's in that beat too. The open up your body, channel all your emotions. And I heard it at the end of the Bless Up beat, and I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, no way. And then I was like, now I got to take this beat. But like, yeah, some of those, like, even it took me a while basically until I started working with Simon to have like fully authentic like shit that was mine, because everybody, like, I've heard a million people on Psilocybin Asylum beat too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it beats just go around. So, you know, two people have the same taste, somebody's gonna have that, you know?
Right, it's not uncommon. I mean, like, again, like, you're not just pulling it from one place either. Like, again, SoundClick, I'll be on there for hours before
premium leases on beats, you know?
And then there's no fucking point. That's why I always tell people, like, make your own shit if you can, even if you're trash, because
that's why, like, Love and War was the only project that we really did, like,
even that, bro,
100% smart, you know what I mean?
We were right. And that project too, like, I don't know, I got upset because people were like, Distress Kid, I want more Distress Kid. When Love and War came out, your artwork was very intricate. Like, that artwork was fucking nuts.
Start to finish, the fucking visuals, dude. The Nowadays video, we literally went to the fucking Badlands to shoot that, and it took forever in the heat, dude. I was wearing that full getup. People don't understand, like,
no,
it's a lot, dude. I've almost died at, like, probably 5 of my music video shoots before. That's not even a joke.
The intensity you put into those is unreal. So you said you've always been, okay, so I'm going to move forward a little bit. So you've been interested in real estate. Fucking cool. Great.
I love real estate, man.
So you're a real estate agent for what real estate company?
Metzen Realty and Associates. So my, my buddy Travis Metzen is the owner broker of the company.
Okay. And so how did that, like, so you just knew this guy beforehand and you're like, I'm going to go get my certifications. And then that was like the path you took the entire time, or like,
yeah, because basically, like, I know a lot of brokers that work for, like, you know, the big dogs, the franchise companies like Remax, your Coldwell Banker, you know, all those. And I, you know, I reached out to a lot of people that work at different, you know, brokerages and stuff. And we're, when I say we're, I'm talking Metzen. Yeah. You know, he's been a buddy of mine. We've kind of known each other through like mutual friends and through like Facebook. And I kind of hit him up and I'm like, hey, I just got my license. I passed my, my final exams. You know, you want to sit down and talk, just see what your company is about. And dude, just one of the greatest dudes I've ever met in my life. Like super authentic dude, really coached me through everything right away. Cause there's obviously a lot to know in real estate.
So right.
Like, oh, I'm going to, like, I hear people all the time, like, I'm going to get my real estate license now, bro.
Yeah, it's like, not that easy.
Fucking, I mean, good luck, pal. It's, right. I mean, it's quite the couple tests you got to take at the end of that. So,
well, yeah,
like that, and then, you know, you got to navigate through some crazy shit.
Well, right. People just think you're making bank right off the bat too. It's like, no, you pretty much start with small homes until you prove your worth. And that's, well, just how that, it works.
And most people don't even close a deal for their first 6 months in real estate. Like, that's a pretty right. known statistic. So,
and how many have you closed so far? Because you've been doing it for about a year now, right?
No, since I got licensed at the end of October, I have my first closing November.
Really?
So, yeah. Well, actually December, but I wasn't really like, so November, I got licensed at the end of October. I wouldn't say I actually started working until November, closed December. And I've probably closed 8 or 9 since then. So
not even a full year. That's really fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's good, man. Yeah, it's good.
So you're killing the real estate game. You got a doggo now. What's her? What's that little shit's name?
Winnie.
Fucking Winnie. Shitting on carpets.
Shitting on carpets. Mashing shit into my carpets, dude.
But you and Rage just love the fuck out of her, huh?
Oh, dude. She's the best. She's the best little... Dude, it was like, you know, one of those things like where during coronavirus, everyone was getting a fucking dog. Like all the shelters, right. You couldn't find a dog to adopt because everyone had nothing but time. Like, fuck, we're stuck here. Let's get a dog. So we ended up getting the last of the litter and we had to drive to Winona to get her. And she was the last of this Westie batch. And we get her and I'm pretty sure she might be the runt because she should be bigger than she is at this point. Mm. She's she's about to be 6 months old. But yeah, she, dude, at first I was like, fuck, like our house is brand new. It was new construction when we bought it, you know? And so like, I'm like, do we do this with the fucking carpets and all that? Rachel wanted the pup. So sure enough, we got her. Yeah. And sure enough, our carpets got shit mashed into them. You know, it's all part of the cycle. Now she's a pretty damn good little pup.
That's dope, bro. Well, I'm glad now Nate's living the dad life. He's just, you know.
I got a new RV. Did you see that, motherfucker? Did you see that, dude?
The shit that you get excited for, bro, I don't understand. Like, I'm just not that dude who's like, I'm going to go fishing. I got an RV. Like, you've always been, like, that passionate dude about it.
I love the outdoors,
it's
man.
Just such a weird transition, bro. Like, that's why I think people are so thrown off by your career. It's like, oh, he's a fucking badass rapper, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden he gets a pup and he gets an RV and he's excited to catch a fucking
I think
bass.
What really throws people off is, like, last year I picked up the guitar and started, you know, playing a little acoustic and people were like, what the fuck, are you a country singer now? Like, this dude can't make his mind up. It's just like, I like so much different shit. Like, you don't have to be, because you like writing rap songs or you like playing, you don't have to be put in this box. And like, I feel like, you know, most the coolest people in the world to me, like, they do so much different shit. You know what I mean? That's what makes them interesting.
Bro, the
not
most,
saying I'm interesting because I'm really fucking not.
The legends though do that, bro. The legends like pick up different like instruments and they're always one step ahead.
You gotta know what you love in life. So how do you know that without trying a bunch of shit? Now I know I love the outdoors. I always have.
Right.
Like, that's one thing. Fishing, dude, catching fish. I will say this right now on your podcast, Kevin. I am the best fisherman rapper there has ever been. Ever.
I don't think there has been one, bro.
Well,
think about it. I mean, Upchurch ain't that. Like if you're talking like country rapper, like fisherman rap in particular, like no, bro. I think that you could start a whole new thing. Like you could just be like, all right, cool, I'm gonna get sponsored by fucking Bass Pro Shop.
I hate to bring the name up because I know it's a touchy subject, but I saw like videos of like Prof out fishing and shit, and I was
what
are you using, live bait, buddy? Like what the fuck is that, you know? It's cheating.
Well, I mean, you're wearing fucking camo right now, which is a weird weird look for you.
Yeah, dude, opinion. I love this shirt though. This is like one of those sun shirts that like it's so thin that you can just wear it out all day.
Yeah, you need to wear fucking... a fucking. Apparently, you burnt the fuck out of your shoulders, huh?
How did you know this? Did I tell you this?
Everything's probably fine, bro. I listen to your goddamn podcast.
Oh yeah,
fuck. You mentioned it there.
Forgot that we brought that up because today I was waiting. I had to book a dermatology appointment 2 months ago because I had, you know, I was like, it's probably about time. Actually, Rachel was like, you need to go get your fucking shoulders looked at. So I go in today, and it was like all the way in Woodbury. I had to be there at 7:30 in the morning, and the guy's like, they look fine.
That's it.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm like glad I fucking came here. I knew I was fine.
I mean, how many? You were worried about that for years, though. Like, yeah, this is actually a concern.
I got like sunspots, dude. Because what would happen was I'd be out with my shirt off all day, never wearing sunscreen because I'm a dumbass, and I would get what they call devil's itch, where you get sun poisoning. So you're like literally like you pretty much like you're fucking got the chills all night when you get off the water, and you're like, oh, I got poisoned by the sun because I'm pretty pasty, dude, until I get this going every year. And I would get, so it's like basically your back itches so bad, but you can't reach the spots. And it's just a constant itch. But when you go to try to scratch them, it burns so bad because you have fucking.
That sounds fucking sunburn. Terrible.
Oh, it's the worst, dude. It's literally the most fucking horrible thing I've ever gone through. I've had it like 5 times.
Devil's itch.
Look it up on Google.
I'm not doing that. I'm definitely not doing that.
Just wear a shirt, dude, or wear some high SPF.
Bro, I'm pasty as fuck, bro. So I'm talking to this girl right now, right? And she's like super outdoorsy. She literally, her job is to like do nature tours and teach kids nature and shit.
Bro, that's dope.
I'm from the goddamn city. So like, I'm like not that. I love hiking, but like a hike to me is like, you know, 5-6 miles. Day trip, whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I'm gonna go 300 miles for 20 days. I'm like, oh.
Oh, fuck that, dude.
Yeah, right. So like, I've been my on ass like
some
burned,
backpacking
bro.
Trips where it's like you're fucking hauling like hundreds of pounds of shit, yep. And you gotta fucking. I just don't find that enjoyable. Like, I'm getting old. I fucking wrestled for years, so my knees are fucking blown out. My back sucks.
How old are you, Nate?
I'm 28. I'll be 20. Wait, am I 28?
I'm turning 24.
Yeah, I'm 28, and I'll be 29 in October this year.
You're not even old, bro. If you're saying 5 years older than me is old.
Bro, old Nate is a lot. I'm not like normal people, bro. I put my body through some fucking shit, both physically and like internally.
Mentally.
Through the years, it's like.
Yeah.
Why do you think, dude, I wouldn't be settled down in life right now if it wasn't a necessity, you know what I mean?
Nate's just demented, bro. He's just fucked up in that.
I am, dude. I am. That's for sure.
Yeah, honestly, if y'all want to know the inside brain of Nate Millions, listen to his podcast. Everything's probably fine. And dude, that's some of the funniest shit I've ever heard, but also
Dude, you actually got to stay up on it, man, because I finally got my audio good now. Like,
it's been a goddamn month, bro. I was waiting per week.
I know everyone's like, I didn't even know anyone was fucking watching it because Cashy's like doing everything, like him and Trav. Trav does all the video and Cashy edits the audio and Cashy like runs the Instagram. Yeah. All I do is show up because if I didn't, it would suck because Cashy never comes prepared.
But, well, yeah, that's right, because you're the one who actually takes the notes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I write things down. You pretty much have to, unless it's like me and you haven't talked in like this in a while. We always have things to catch up on. But like Cashy, dude, this dude calls me fucking every single day. And I love him to death. You know, he's my best friend. But it's like, he could just send a text, but instead he'll FaceTime you and be like, hey, bud, I just wanted to show you this. And it's just like a fucking.
Send me
a
picture.
He'll be like drywalling his basement. I just wanted to show you this. Like. What do you want, a fucking pat on the back? You hung some drywall?
No, I feel you. Again, keep up with that podcast, bro, because that shit is like legendary. I'm not going to lie. I started this podcast because like I actually I was sitting here and I've always wanted to do another podcast because in college I did a podcast and I was about business and shit I just wasn't qualified to talk about. I was pretty much going to class, taking my notes. And then about it.
And then regurgitating.
Yeah, and like it was like, honestly, it worked well for a while. Like I was getting a couple hundred listens per episode, but then I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I was like, that didn't feel right. So I quit. Yeah. And that was 2 years ago. And then I come back out and I'm like, well, now I can actually talk about this shit. I could talk about the industry all day, which because I think artist for 6 years and I have 30 shows under my belt. I think I'm qualified enough to be like, I can actually talk about
it. Absolutely. You've been in the nitty gritty with this for a while, buddy. Credentials. But let me ask you this. Let me flip the interviewee.
Okay.
And ask, so like, where are you guys right now? Like, as far as, like, obviously shows aren't going on. Like, what is going on with you, with CLM? Like, what's the situation?
Dude, there's a lot of shit still in motion though. So like, I mean, to be fair, Cato doesn't let me talk about too much, but like, right. The amount of shit I can talk about is this. Like, we just did a show in Appleton, Wisconsin with Riff Raff, who's been a big client for us. I think I've done like three or four shows already for Riff. Mm-hmm. That's because of Cato's relation with Riff, which, if people don't know, Cato is now acting tour manager / head of merchandise for Riff Raff and more. I mean, he's done so much for that, man. So as CLM presents, and Buddy's off doing fucking Buddy Vegas shit. I mean, dude, he's having another kid.
He told me the other day he was getting his real estate license.
No, he's not, like, bro.
Yeah, and I was like, bro, like, you know, you got to take a test and you got to fucking go through classes and shit, right, bro?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing so hard because people look up Buddy Vegas. He is the most interesting goddamn human you'll ever fucking meet, bro. Like, he's, you either love him or hate him, bro.
He's
like,
a legend, dude. He'll forever be a legend.
The amount of shit that, like, so, like, my job at CLM Presents, I joked about it, was to make sure two things, or three things. Run the show, actually, for operations, right? Because that's what I do. That's what CLM's usually doing. Usually running fucking hella shows. And that's the fun part I like. The other part is making sure Buddy wears a condom. The other part is making sure Buddy doesn't fuck a bitch on the side stage. Like, those are the three shows I have, bro. Like, there was one time, okay, story time. So there was a story where... I don't give a fuck if I get in trouble for this. So I was on the side stage doing my thing, and I was like, fuck, dude, like, there's no DJ. Where's Buddy? Like, there's no DJ on stage, and like, the headliner's about to come on. Like, we're in a serious fucking situation. Dude, the headliner, which is, you know, I don't want to say the name, but the headliner comes behind me and goes, yo, bro, where's your DJ? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, this is a bad look. I open up, you know, the caboose, right? So I open up that side door that doesn't have a lock. Yeah. It just swings open.
Yeah.
Some chick is like blowing Buddy like right on the fucking side, bro. And Buddy, like, I see his head and he looks to me and goes, oh fuck. And then he like pulls his pants up. He goes, yo, what's up? I'm ready to go. I'm like, Buddy, like half a second ago, bro, you were just getting some. And then,
bro, now that is the most Buddy Vegas story I've ever heard in my life,
bro. There's so many of those. Like, and again, like, when Cato brought me on,
dude, he was on a full tour with us.
I can't imagine. I can't fucking imagine the shit that you were going through, bro. Like, the shit that I go through out of state. Like, there was one time where we were driving to Iowa, and Buddy was just like reading us, what is it, the biographies of porn stars. And it was the funniest shit because Buddy cannot read for shit. So it was like the most hilarious.
He was stuttering the biographies.
So bad, bro. And Kato was like, what'd you say, bud? Like, he just.
Dude, have you ever been to Max Bar? And this is just a random ass Buddy Vegas story. And I won't even take too long to tell you this. But he starts telling us, like, I don't know what the word for it is, but he was going to school back in the day to be like a bird, like to study birds, whatever the word is. And he was like, legitimately, this whole tour, he was just naming these birds that were going by. And I'm like, yeah, fucking right. I'd look it up. I thought he was just bullshitting, you know, and I'd be like, dude, it's right, you know, and it just became this recurring theme. And all of a sudden we're sitting in fucking Max Bar parking lot in this venue, dude. It's in fucking Lansing, Michigan. The whole city's kind of a shit, you know, show, I love it. But yeah, this bar is like known for people pissing on the walls and shit.
Oh, great.
So we're sitting and fucking waiting for load in. We got there a little bit early, and Vegas just starts taking full fucking pieces of bread. Like, this is the only bread we had to like make sandwiches. And he's like, look at all these birds. And he's just like literally just fucking lofting full pieces of toast out the window, dude. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing, buddy? And he's like, it's all good. They're going to eat them. And we're waiting for like 20 minutes. There's nothing happening. I'm like, bro, you just chucked bread like literally all over this parking lot. Like, it's probably not a good look. And all of a sudden these birds just start fucking. He's like, I told you. Yeah, and they're just like, come picking up full pieces of bread.
Dude, again, everyone Google Buddy Vegas, because the man has a good fucking track record. Like, he's done a lot in his life. But also, like, you know, there's a time where I was sleeping in Iowa, and I look out the window and I see Buddy sitting in the parking lot at like 5 a.m, sun's bright on him. And he's cross-legged in the middle of the parking lot looking up, right? I'm like, all right, little, I'm going to go fucking check out what Buddy Vegas is doing. So I go outside, and like, me and Gage were with him. And Gage is like, dude, is he like fucked up right now? Is he okay? And I'm like, I have no idea, bro. I go out there and he's just like, oh, Kev, look, it's this bird. Oh, Kev, look, it's that bird. And he was naming, again, birds, like hella bird. And I was like, I this is the first time I ever saw him do this. And I was like, dude, do you actually enjoy birds? He's like, dude, I love birds. It's his passion. I'm like, so you're a DJ that just fucking adores birds.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
And I looked up all these birds, bro, and he was right. He didn't even have to see him. He could hear him and was like, oh, yeah, no, it's that bird.
Yeah, it's insane, dude. Like, who knew? That's just one of those things that I'm like, wow. Like, that just made him even more interesting as a person, I guess.
And, you know, the fact that, you know, now that, you know, I think Buddy has like what? I think it's known fact that dude has like the strongest swimmers of all time for fucking.
Oh, absolutely, dude.
I mean,
absolutely.
Seven fucking kids or some shit.
Right. Yeah, it's insane. When he was, I didn't even believe him when he was telling me that. He's like, I'm serious. I had my first kid when I was like 12 or 13.
And yeah,
I was
13.
Like, what the
fuck,
bro?
Yep. And he's just still fucking going, just popping them out like yeah. M&M's, bro.
Dude, shout out, Buddy Vegas.
Shout out, Buddy Vegas.
He's a fucking Pez dispenser.
Dude, I fucking love that, man. Okay, anyway, so back to Nate. that's CLM presents in a nutshell, yeah. By the way. There's three people in the goddamn company. One's working for Riff Raff right now. One's fucking doing whatever with birds and kids. And then you got me starting a podcast and kind of just chillaxing in the middle. So
basically, like, you guys had a lot of stuff in line, though, and then just things are basically, yeah. Like, postponed right now. Like, all the shows that you guys had in place prior are probably going to happen still.
So, yeah. So, I mean, well, that's tough, bro, is that we had – so, in March is when all this kind of started, end of February, early March.
Right,
and yeah. When we kind of talked about it, I was on tour with Mod by myself. So, I was, like, on tour with Mod. I went to Iowa. I went to Madison in Milwaukee, and I think I stopped in La Crosse as well. And, like, when I was there – like, me and Mod were kind of talking about it. We're like, is this going to be something that's like blown up? And like, he was really worried about it. And then after I think there was the Madison show, or no, it was after the Milwaukee show. I all of a sudden was like, I was talking to, at the time, Tana and fucking Mod. And they were like, yeah, honestly, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Cause he was debating on canceling the whole tour. And I was like, okay, let's look this shit up. Kato then calls me and goes like, yeah, bro. So we have three shows lined up for Riff Raff and we have Caskey in the fall, but all of a sudden we don't know if that's going to happen anymore. Like, it just was up in the air. And then things got rescheduled. Like, we're supposed to have a show in Dilworth, Minnesota with Riff Raff. And long story fucking short, dude, no, like, shit just kind of shit the bed. And luckily CLM is still going strong, but like, we did one show and that was in Appleton and that was the only one we could do out of like the five we had in line. So mm-hmm. Now we're just kind of chilling and waiting. And again, when we come back though, we're going to come back in a very, very different manner. I think that like, it will be business as usual, but with the amount of things Kato has going on, he pretty much just said, Kevin, you and Buddy need to do CLM. Like, that's just how it's going to be when I come
right,
back.
Right. Cause I know like, when last time I talked to Kato, he was like talking about even getting into like some bar crawl scene stuff in like Louisville and all that. And
he was doing that for a while.
Like, everything's going to be weird for a while, especially like entertainment wise. Like, it's going to be fucking weird for a while.
Dude, like, he was doing marketing consulting, bar stuff, like shows, fucking other stuff. Like, he's worked with Webby for a long time still, all this other shit, right? He's so tied up in that like, he's pretty much just going to say, Kevin, this is a show and figure it out. Like, so that's how it's going to be. And I'm more than confident to do it. Again, when I was doing stuff with Mod, I talked to Kato like once a day on the phone. And then it was like, I'm doing this shit independently. Like, I picked it up so fast and no one expected that. And I didn't realize that either. And Buddy didn't expect it either. Like, Buddy taught me shit super quick. Like, because mm-hmm. he's like, well, if I'm not there, you need to do this. So, I mean, that's kind of where CLM's at, is just like, when we come back, it's going to be me and Buddy Vegas kind of running shit and it's going to be different. I'm going to operate stuff a little differently and I'm just going to see what fucking happens. COVID guidelines and stuff are not going to be our responsibility, unfortunately. A lot of people ask me that. I'm like, that's obviously up to the venue. Like, that's not up to.
Yeah, that's their call, you know?
Yeah, it's not up to us, so.
Right. And, you know. It's weird. It's weird to navigate around all that, I feel like.
I mean, the artist I want to work with is like, I love working with Caskey. He's super great. I want to work mm-hmm. with Coda, the friend, which I've been trying to book for a while. He's just tricky, but we haven't, like, I've reached out to these people. Like, these are just people I want to like fucking work with again. I talked to Mod, like, if that tour does resume next year, I was like, talk to us again, because like, he would love to work with us again, which obviously, you know, I'm a biggest inspiration is Mod. So like, mm-hmm. that would be fucking phenomenal, but we'll see, bro. I've accomplished a lot. I'm happy with where I'm at. That's why I'm just doing the podcast. Cause like, I can get these people, we have good relationships with these people after working with them. So it's fun to have them on, you know, it's just mm-hmm. good fucking conversations.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really all
and
it
people,
is.
People want to, you know, people want to hear what podcasting is so cool to me, because it's like so much different than like any other type of like interview. Like, you go to fucking Go 95 and they're like, all right, here's how it's going to go in your 6 minutes. And it's like, well,
yeah,
it's more of like a long form discussion, you know?
It's an open forum thing. Like, again, like when I was talking to a couple of my guests, like fucking Jonas, I talked to like a professional Call of Duty gamer. His name is Silly. Like, it's the amount of shit that like you would. The perspectives of those people, that's why I call it Kev's perspective, just because a different perspective of what they have and like what you understand as like a listener, you're like, oh. And again, like, this podcast by no means is like fucking taken off. I'm no Joe Rogan. It's just like mm-hmm. a fun thing to do, to have conversations. So
it's hard to get a podcast to take off though, man. Like, even like,
I don't even
care. Like, no, we're fucking hilarious, but like, people have to have time. You have to be like a podcast kind of person to want to sit there and listen to something for like, I don't even listen to Rogan pod. Dude, I don't listen to podcasts.
I only listen.
I think it's so fun. You know what I mean?
The only podcast I truthfully listen to other than like critiquing myself is your guys' podcast and then Gary V. And I follow Gary V because like, it's just, I'm a business person. So that's really interesting to me.
Yeah.
But even then he keeps his shit. It'd be like 10 minutes, one segment, and then it's 50 minutes, another segment. It's like varies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I keep up with his Instagram a lot because he'll post like, you know, clips of things. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm just more of that kind of guy though. Like I'm going to be on Instagram at least once a day. So, you know, I'll try to catch up or I might go down a rabbit hole a time or two, but for the most part, I don't like when I'm in my car, I'm listening to music. Like I'm a music guy, you know, more than a podcast. I could see it for like a long drive though. I've done it before. I'm just saying I'm not an avid podcast guy.
No, and the only reason
I'd way rather be the one talking and having the dialogue than having to listen to it.
And the only reason I did it is because a lot of people ask me like, why did you do it? Honestly, man, it's like my music's cool. I make it for fun, but like, I want to have a legacy at some point. Like when I ever, like most people do in this world and like, which some people don't, kind of surprising. But for me, the audio is like the one that I think that will always be there. And if I die tomorrow, like this conversation and like the conversations I have lined up, like then you can truly see, like you're going to truly see what like, and hear what my thoughts are and what in the moment of who I was. So that's the only reason why I was doing this. And then just to get a different fucking side of the story. Cause again, if you sit here, bro, people can put up a front, like I'm not going to lie. Some of my guests that I have coming out, you can see them in the beginning, put on this front. And then all of a sudden, like 20 minutes in, they just get really relaxed and then they become who they are. And that's what I fucking love. Cause I'm like, yep, there we go. Crack the fucking shell. Let's get through that.
So, how's it going, Kevin?
And then you can't keep that shit up for 45 minutes. Good fucking luck, bro.
Fucking so anyway, throw your back out.
Right. So, okay. That's another thing I actually want to talk to you about was your wedding. So that's fucking nuts during this time. Did you guys postpone it? Like,
no, we didn't, dude. Thankfully, like, thank fuck we didn't try to like get it done this year because we had it planned that we weren't going to get married till 2021 anyway. So thank God, dude. We had so many friends that we actually were just at a wedding this past weekend for a friend of ours, and they did it in Iowa. There was, you weren't required to wear a mask. It was all outdoor, but like,
really?
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, well, fuck, if I'm going to get COVID-19, this would be the place I get it.
This
is it, you know? Fuck, but no, I'm just glad, dude, because we had so many friends that obviously had to postpone their weddings. And we wanted to, we had a plan, her and I, that, you know, we got engaged almost a year ago now. August will be a year that we got engaged. Then we planned on a house, we planned on a puppy, then we planned on the wedding, honeymoon, and then we'll discuss.
You're thinking of pop on a little Nate's and little Rachel's?
I don't, dude, a little, dude, I can't even imagine, dude.
Bro, that should be fucking hilarious, bro.
Her brother is one of my best friends. You know, you've met Aaron.
Aaron,
dude, our kid would be so fucked if it has both genetics, man. I don't know. It's such a weird time. Like, imagine fucking birthing a child in this time right now.
It's crazy. Shout out to my fucking two brothers. Both of them had their first kids during this time. Like, literally, my brother popped out a kid a couple days ago, so I'm an uncle now. And then my cousin, who I grew up with, technically my brother, right? A month ago, he popped out a kid. So I'm like, guys, like, what up with the COVID kids?
Yeah, no shit, bro. Like, I know quite a few people that had a baby this year, and it's like one day you're gonna have to look back and tell them like you were born in 2020.
What the fuck are you gonna tell your kid? Like, oh, so what was that time of year I was born? Because I've asked my parents, like, you know, like I was born in 96, what was that like? They're like, oh, it's whatever, right? Like, no, they're gonna have some shit to talk about. Like,
oh yeah, period. Dude, the 90s were such a simpler time, man. I miss the 90s so goddamn much,
bro. It was so I honestly, like, I'm a late 90s kid, but there is still shit that like I appreciated from it. And like, I think back then, I think my biggest concern was like, what? I can't remember. Like, I think it was those little like the gym fucking, you know what I'm talking about? The gym scooters that like they're flat.
Dude, yes.
My biggest concern was fucking crushing my knuckle on a gym scooter right back then.
Yeah, I was, dude, these days I'd probably crush my nuts.
What's up with you? Okay, that's another thing too. Apparently your balls, like the biggest balls you've ever fucking had in your life.
It's
like,
dude, not even that they're big, dude. They're just hanging low.
They drop in the water,
man.
Bro. Like, they actually touch the water, huh?
If the water's high enough, it happens. I don't know what it is, like, if there's something fucking wrong with me or what's going on. If
I think there is seriously something wrong with you, bro. Aging
beyond, you know, like, what I should be at
this point. Your balls are 80 years old, bro.
They might be, dude. Like, I'm not even kidding. You should, after a bath, dude, if I soak in a tub or a hot tub, bro, I get up and those things are fucking hitting the backs of my knees.
That's fucked.
I got to be careful with those short shorts I've been wearing too, buddy. I'm telling you what.
Dude, I really hope that, like, when you sit on the toilet, the fucking lid just fucking clamps on, bro.
Oh, fuck, dude. Don't even say that.
See, I haven't even had that happen to me, and apparently that's a real concern that you have to look out for.
How the fuck would that, like, if you're sitting on the toilet?
Hey, bro, anything can happen, bro, because if your leg goes up, well, that's the thing.
I guess if your ass cheeks, like, actually, I got some, rip the back of it.
And I got some beef with you, too. So, like, we've completely gone off music, so fuck that shit. The one thing I want to talk about was, in your podcast, I got some serious beef with this. Nate says that what? When you wipe, you stay sitting. Now, to me, you said it was weird to stand up. I think it's the complete opposite. Who the fuck sits down and wipe? Like, who stays sitting down to wipe their ass?
So you're telling me, Kevin,
I stand up.
You take a shit and then you stand up and you fucking wipe your ass.
Yep. And again, because you have to check if you're good.
Let me say it like this. If I'm in public, my ass never touches the sheets. Long story, but I got impetigo across my whole entire ass once when I was a kid. So ever since then, I mummy wrap the fucking toilet seat in fucking toilet paper if they don't got those fucking protective coverings.
The fuck's wrong with you, bro?
And I still never touch it, bro. It's like the weirdest. Like, that's the only thing, like, I'm like germaphobe about. Like, I wash my hands. Like, now that they put the sanitizer out everywhere, like, I'll use it if I'm like, I've been touching shit all day. But like, dude, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm outside all the time with fucking dirt all over my hands. Like, I don't give a shit. But
you're
when
the
I poop
weirdest
in public,
person,
I do stand up. But when I'm at home, I fucking lift up the sack.
No.
And I wipe.
You wipe your ass like a baby?
No, not like a baby. Like, I don't go up to the nuts. Like, I'll go backwards still. You know what I mean? You're not supposed to wipe towards your nuts.
When you're a dude, it doesn't matter.
No,
like, I get it.
Yeah,
like, but
you don't want poop on your balls, bro.
No, but what? I don't know, bro. This is a music podcast, and I don't even know what to talk about.
I use wet wipes too. Like, if I'm at home, I got the option where I'm like, oh, I'll dry wipe, and then I'll use a couple wet wipes. Like, I polish that.
Yo, go fucking roast Nate Millions for this, bro. I don't understand who. This is the most intricate ass wiping, like, routine I've ever heard
in
my life.
I'm gonna get a bidet.
Get a bidet.
You ever had
get
one
a
of those?
Yeah, dude, at our old house, and I hated it because our water was ice fucking cold.
Yeah, I hate the cold. You can get a hot water hookup for them, though.
Yeah, do that. Because, like, nice. I felt like there was a straight ice cubes in my assholes. My roommates, by the way, they're like, oh, dude, I love bidets. They're the fucking shit.
Do you guys have one?
Oh, dude, no. Our old house, or our landlord would not let us uninstall the bidet. He made us leave there. Oh, yeah. I told him, are you sure? Because, like, that shit's really gone up there. And they're like, no, just leave it there. We'll clean it and we'll give it to the next tenant. So we're like,
did you guys buy it?
Yeah, bro. It's bullshit. Like,
well, technically in real estate terms, like, it's a fixed item at that point. So
you're not allowed to, like, uninstall it because
I would have just not told them. I would have just been like, no, like, I would have just taken it off if I knew I wanted to fucking spray my ass in my next house. And I would have been like,
it's the same shit for, like, so he kept our bidet and he kept our fucking wall mount. That's why I'm salty. No, don't even
comment, but
fuck him. Fuck him, bro.
Like, when you go to buy a house and people have, like, fixed curtain rods, they're supposed to leave the curtain rods, but not the curtains. Like, obviously, your ceiling fans, TV mounts, not the TVs, but anything that's fixed to the real property, technically, is, it's supposed to transfer.
Again, I want to ask this to you. How many fucking tattoos are a new thing for me, by the way? Let's just completely sidetrack. Tattoos are a new thing for me. I, like, literally just got, like, my first.
Are you liking
first,
it, buddy?
Oh, like, dude, I therapy? Fucking, dude, check this shit out, bro. This is fucking Kobe, bro.
Oh, I like that. That's the old Mamba. Fire.
Yeah, bro. Mamba mentality, bro, with the lion in it. So the reason why I have lions everywhere is because I'm a Leo. So, like, that's just, like, what I've always gone by. Like, me and Ma talked about how, like, he's like, oh, I fucking love the astrological signs. I do too. Like, I really think, like, being a Leo is who I fucking am. And, like, that's why I got two lions. But again, like, this is my favorite piece right now. But I don't know.
Those are pretty fire, bro.
I just don't know how else to, like, go about it. Like, I don't know. At this point, you have a sleeve is what I wanted to ask you. Like,
well, I'm telling you this, buddy. You're doing the right thing. Always go black and white. Don't ever try to fucking put color, like, at least not big amounts. Like, you could do a splash here and there. I think it looks all right, but This whole arm right here, I'm gonna go like all black and white on.
So you want to do another sleeve?
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna be fucking Yakuza style, bro.
So how do you start a sleeve? Is my question, because I have a lot of space. Like, these are the only two I ever have.
Yeah, so those are two like big pieces right there. So you got one on the forearm. You got one up here on the bicep shoulder area. Like, I would work. I mean, I started on this one was down up. Okay. If that makes sense. But I did, like, I knew kind of like the whole layout of the whole thing. So we started by doing outlines. So it was just all like black outlines at first. And then, you know, we'd start to do the shading. And then the very like last shit we did is like all this, like these clouds and shit in here.
That's fire.
You know, a couple stars to just fill up some space. This whole thing, dude, this mushroom that I got that's eating me. You've seen this one before.
But yeah, I have.
This all right here is actually like ink. Like, it looks like my skin, but it's actually, really? Yeah, it's like skin colored ink.
Wow. So like, I mean, so how many, I'm just want to ask this too. Like, what's like for your sleeve? I'm trying to figure out like the cost and like how to plan that out, because I wouldn't know what to fill it with. How'd you know what to fill it with? I guess was my question. Artist choice or what?
Yeah, no, it wasn't artist choice. I kind of had the idea, like, just find examples. That's what I've always done. Be like, I like this, but like, do you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I've always just had examples, and I don't know, however you want to do it. Like, now you kind of know how it feels in both, you know, lower arm and upper arm. So
yeah, it's trash.
In my opinion, your upper arm fucking hurts way more than like
really
down here.
I didn't feel shit up here, but like when I was doing this one, now that one, bro, I was sweating.
You know why though? Because that one, like on the insides right here, like when it gets close to like that big like bicep vein you got right there, it seems to like hurt. Like the elbow elbow area hurts too.
I'm not like a baby when it comes to pain too, bro. I've had appendicitis. I just had some shit, but tattooing is a different type of pain. Like, people are like, oh, it feels like a cat scratch. I think it feels like your skin being slowly torn open. Like, you can literally feel the ripping. And I was like, this is awful. Like,
it's when it starts to swell up too. You know what I mean? Like, especially when you're getting into like shading, like the final shading, it's like, fuck, no, my skin's super inflamed. And it just feels like, dude, the worst one I got was that fucking immortalized tattoo. This fucking
stomach piece right here.
Because I got fucking like right on the hips, dude. Like, that was like, and I'm super used to it, but I was just like, fuck, like that spot, for whatever reason, you got like a lot of nerve endings right there. And
it was
intense. I did not like that.
So we've talked about tattooing, we've talked about music,
poop and how about, you wipe your ass.
I mean, with Nate Millions, there's always a poop conversation. That's always a thing.
That's for sure. I mean, it's a big part of every day.
I know you said
I gotta poop right now.
Aren't you like very big on
a lot of brew, but
aren't you like very much on like people should talk about their poops? Like, I think you believe
I think people should talk about anything that's like, you know what I mean? Most people like tiptoe around things, but it's like, if it's something that's going on, like if it's something that you experience every day, or it's something that's happening in the world, just fucking talk about it. Then, like, why do you have to?
Yeah, like walk around it. We're in Minnesota. That's just kind of.
I'm a no bullshit kind of guy, you know.
That's me and Gage are very much the same way. We talk about that a lot. Like, the no bullshit thing is very important. Like, the girl I'm seeing right now is the only one I've ever met that's like no bullshit. And I'm like, oh, that's refreshing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, I'm very no bullshit with the artists too. And I work with them. Like, like when I talked to, like, I think the first time I was really no bullshit, cause I was like treading lightly for my first couple of shows, and
oh,
I was
just trying to
appease people. But then I was really no bullshit with fucking, when I met Jaron Benton, Chris Webby and all of them, and they were all really appreciated it. They're like, dude, like, thank you for not being a fucking like, oh, do whatever you want. And then like, you don't do shit for them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, they appreciate that. By the way, Webby missed your ass so bad. Like, I brought up, I was like, oh yeah, one of my buddies is Nate Millions. And he's like, where is that kid? Why the fuck isn't he here right now? Like, he was,
dude, he always like, even when they, like, we were on fucking the last tour we did together, we were staying in Minnesota. I was like, fuck, thank fuck, I get to go home, you know, for a night. He like fucking calls me and he's like, bro, where you at? And it's like, bro, I'll see you tomorrow. Like, dude, I'm good for, you know.
So you wouldn't want to be like a bromance or what?
Oh, for sure, dude. Yeah, he's good shit. Yeah, he's a good dude.
100%.
Sure. He's like one of those dudes too. It's like super authentic. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
And I definitely respect his, like, the way he has continually like just grown independently over the years, you know what I mean? Like, really became his own business, you know what I mean? He handles a lot of things hands-on, like, himself
now. From what I've heard from again, Kato tells me a lot of stories, like, he's very, very smart, and again, he owns literally
super
everything.
Intelligent. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Super intelligent. Yeah,
Which is tough to do, I think, in the industry.
That's kind of like the model, I guess, I wish I would have had in music. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
it's tough,
and that's kind of the road I was headed down. But like at the same time, like I'm like, oh, I'm 28. Like he already had it figured out at that point. Not to say that there's like a time limit on anything, but you need fucking money. When you want to do the shit that I want to do in life, you need fucking money.
Well, right. Well, I mean, you're kind of a bougie bitch, Nate. As much as you love the outdoors, you're a bougie bitch.
Well, yeah, but like my bouginess, dude, I'll buy like a fucking $500 fishing rod and be like, this is the best.
That's true.
You know what I mean? But when you're making big boy purchases all the time, dude, fucking boats, RVs, houses, like you gotta.
You know? Bro, I spent $30 with a beer the other day and I was like literally freaking out. $30. I was freaking $30. Out. Yeah, bro, because I work for Apple and like people, I don't make fucking buku bucks at Apple, bro.
Oh, yeah. Everyone thinks you do, though. Like everyone's like fucking.
It's a really good job.
I've heard people be like, Kevlo must be doing pretty well, huh? And I'm like,
I'm glad I'm building that goddamn perception, but like, here's the deal. This shit I saved up for 3 months, and that was actually all CLM money. I mean, I'll just be honest, that's real as fuck because I spent a lot. Like, I made some money from CLM. I don't make a whole lot. Just because I do concert promotion, by the way, I would love for someone to throw a show and try to profit from that shit. Do it, because we do it pretty consistently.
Oh, yeah.
But we ain't making thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
Right. Like, yeah. It's more of so just having like a ton of fucking shows lined up. And like,
yeah. And
Kato,
like,
dude, Kato is such a good role model for that shit, though, because I've over the years watched him like from small shows to like big shows. And like, dude, watching his growth. What happened?
The audio is like really fucking weird.
Sorry,
everyone. I'm sure y'all heard
that. Dope, bro.
That was not dope. That was far from dope. That sounded fucking horrible. But yeah, no, you're right though. Kato has like a fucking formula, and like I think again to shows and like to all that shit. A lot of people have their speculations. A lot of people have their rumors. But like Kevlo is doing well in the mental sense, and yes, my career and the experiences I have, I am like. I'm happy with where I'm at. I'm known in Minnesota now to be a decent concert promoter. Like, that's fucking great. But I am just a prodigy of Kato. Kato calls me a little Kato. Like, I am just a little Kato.
That's a
like,
compliment, though, honestly.
Dude, that dude's really one of the most hardworking motherfuckers I've ever met in my life.
Like, and even seeing him, like, develop over the years. Like, he used to be, like you said, like, where he would try to appease everyone and everything. And now he's just like, dude, he'll show up in fucking sweatpants looking rough as fuck and be like, fucking do this, do that. I don't give a fuck who you are. Like,
yep.
It's just hilarious.
My whole goal for him is just literally, bro, like people ask what CLM going to do when we come back. My goal is to have Kato never come back to Minnesota. Maybe just like a hangout, but like I want to run shit in the Midwest. He can handle South if he wants to, but like that is the goal, is to have me and Buddy run the Midwest and like just have him sit at home with the family. Cause dude,
I'm sure he would love that.
Dude, he doesn't spend enough time with his family, in my opinion, man. He sacrifices a lot.
Oh yeah. For this shit, travels so much.
So that's what I'm saying.
Crazy
so.
Having two kids too and trying to, you know, do all that shit.
Dude, his wife's a boss. I'm just saying that. Shout out Kato's wife, bro.
Shout out to Megan.
Megan, PhD boss ass bitch. I talk about her a lot.
They got a new crib too. I wish I could have gotten the commish off that motherfucker.
Looks fire, bro.
Right? 1.35 acres.
Yeah, dude. He was telling me he loves it. He was actually that transition, dude. He was literally freaking out. From selling his house. And I think Jonas actually did the same thing. So him and Jonas, I think, sold their house before they even found a house. So like type shit. So like, you know, that can be stressful. Like you have X amount of days to get out. You have X amount of days to find a new home.
Well, you can line it up too, where like where a purchase agreement like is contingent upon your house selling, you buying the next house is contingent upon your successful closing on your house.
Right.
So that's a pretty common thing too. But
so like, when are you going to get me in a house?
Dude, you fucking tell me when you're ready to start looking.
I'm actually so. Think about this, bro. I can't even go through my finances on a podcast, but like I'm just saying right now, I pay as much as a fucking mortgage would be because I looked into
it. You always do when you're renting. You always do.
So
you pay more than your mortgage would be for the exact same house.
And that's why it's like. That's why I think what you're doing when you're saying like, I can find you a house that's like solid. Like I think you could honestly, like, I think you'd be the only person I would trust to find me a home.
Oh, 100%, dude.
I just want to be married to my partners too, though.
And like people think like they have this like fucking wild idea that dude, interest rates right now are literally all time low. So it's like, sucks. Yeah, you're buying a house, you're making a commitment, you're going to have a mortgage. There's no way around that. But you're not, dude, it's so much cheaper now because of like coronavirus. Fucking mortgage rates are insane, dude. Everyone was doing refinances because they had, you know, some interest rates were like literally under 3%.
Really?
Under 3%, dude. Like, insane.
So, like, so how hard would it be to find me a decent fucking house? Because I'm pretty bougie, Nate.
It depends what you want. Are you open to, you want single family? You open to townhomes, condominiums?
That's the thing. I really want a condo.
Builds? You really want a condo?
I really want a condo.
That's easy as fuck, dude. That's easy as fuck. You can get a nice ass condo.
Like, I need like modern, like floor to ceiling windows type shit. Like, I need granite countertops. I need stainless steel appliances. Like, I am bougie, but I don't.
That's easy peasy, buddy.
Oh, what's the mortgage though? Give me an average mortgage rate.
All right, let's look up what area we talking.
Bro, honestly, that's a tough one, bro.
Just name out a city.
Minnetonka. Just bougie. Minnetonka. Bougie shit. Every time I'm in Minnetonka, it's bougie. Minnesota, right, by the way.
This is just going to be a real rough mortgage calculator here. So.
Because I don't want to be in the city that I'm done with the city. I live in St. Paul right now. I'm fucking done with it.
Yeah, it's tough to, dude, for whatever reason, St. Paul's like so high demand right now. I mean, I love St. Paul.
It's a nice area, but like, I don't know, if you just step foot in the wrong block sometimes, man, it's just like Minneapolis. It's just, you don't want to be in certain places at certain times. And I'm just done with that. I just want to be able to, like, I miss the burb. I do miss growing up in a burb, just to walk down on the street in the middle of the night. No one's out there.
Dude, I love living in the suburbs. Just not for any reason specifically either, other than the fact that, like, I just love not having to deal with, like, the hustle and bustle all the time. Yeah. Like, I've spent so much time in cities in my life that it's like,
I think a lot of that too, working in the music industry though, like, there's a reason why Kanye has a fucking house and, like, you know, way out in bumfuck nowhere, because it's like, you're just always around people. You're always interacting, doing things. Like, that's why with shows too, I'm always overwhelmed as fuck. There's always, I got to talk to literally every person in the building. So it's like, I would rather just at the end of the show, go home in the, to Nowhereville and just fucking do me.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I just found you a $1.68 million house, dude. This one just popped up. Look at this fucking thing, dude. If you can see this, look at this fucking. Oh, there's a mansion for you, dude. Only 1.68 million. Look at this thing at night.
Only 1.68 million. So you think I could afford that? You're talking to a guy.
Get him down. Look at that. That looks like a fucking Minecraft house, dude. Look at that thing, dude. Oh my god. That'll never sell.
Why not? I would buy it if I could.
Dude, like, there's certain price points that, like, dude, there's your fucking floor-to-ceiling wheel fucking windows right there. Look at that.
I love that. I love everything about that.
Yeah, just extremely high ceilings. What are those, like, fucking 50?
No, I'm dead ass. I mean, before we had this podcast, I need to know, realistically, you're looking at Kevlo. You're looking at, you know, kind of what he does. You know me pretty well. What's my mortgage rate, bitch? Like, I'm honestly dead serious about this.
You talk to a lender, when you talk to a lender, it's all going to come down to credit score. It's going to come down to your debt to income ratio. It's going to come into your income, employment history, making sure you've had a job for long enough that you'll keep a job. They'll give you a pre-approval with, all right, you can spend up to this number roughly, give or take, whatever.
Right.
And then you tell me that number, and then we work with that number. So you're like, I want a condo. I want fucking granite countertops. I want floor to ceiling windows. That's a tongue twister for me for whatever reason. I want a walk-in closet in my main bedroom. I want, you know, you got all these things that you want.
Right.
And then I fucking put them into the multiple listing service and I say, boom, hey, buddy, these are all here. I can put you on auto email. So right away, when a new listing's coming on the market, if it's coming soon, if it's active, boom, you get it right away. You see it. You're like, Nate, let's go take a look at it today. I might like this one. I say, all right, Kevin, let's do it. Boom. We put the offer in. They say, bada bing, bada boom.
And that's
it. It's not always that easy. Usually,
and then
right now everything's multiple offer, like in
right.
a day.
Right. Yeah. But I'm just, I don't know, man. I've been really thinking about getting in my own place and just kind of like really, really setting up shop. I'll be honest. Cause like, I do love Minnesota. I don't think I'm going to go anywhere anytime soon. I've debated on living in Portland and like, that's where my brother is. And like, I just don't see myself leaving Minnesota. And like, I just want to get
Oregon's beautiful, dude. Portland is
it's great.
Pretty much the 90s. We were talking about how much we missed the 90s. You ever seen that Portlandia?
Yeah.
The dream of the 90s is alive in Portland.
That's literally what it is though, bro. Like,
yeah, it straight up is, dude.
Portland's great. Again, I love it, but I think Minnesota is where my heart's at. And I've actually debated on being like, okay, let's just go to Nate. Let's get a house in. Cause I don't want to live in rent anymore, man. I'm so sick of renting. I'm only 24 though. I'm turning 24 in like 7 days.
Yeah. But think about this, dude. The earlier you have you know, mortgage. The earlier you have that, the better off you're going to be, because you're just building equity at that point. You know what I mean?
It's kind of
like,
what I'm thinking.
More long-standing assets you have. Like, I look at a lot of people and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not doing that bad. I have a lot of assets in my name, you know? Like,
right.
I have a house, I have a vehicle, I have a recreational vehicle now.
Yeah.
I have a fucking boat, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So it's like...
Well, we'll talk about it. I'm dead ass. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, dude.
Because I thought it was, my uncle actually like told me this recently. He was like, yeah, I know you're only 23, but like, you know, if you're turning 24 and you're getting to that age, like you should probably start thinking about it. I'm just so sick of renting, bro. I'm paying way too much to sit.
Well, it's just money out the window. It's not going anywhere.
Right.
But
so
you're paying
like,
your landlord's mortgage. Literally, that's
the only thing
is.
I'm worried about is like, what if I have to redo my fucking, my basement floods. I can't afford to fix that.
Well, if you're in a condo, you don't have, your basement's not flooding and everything that wise, that's why the condos and like associations are such a bonus. Like I live in a townhouse, brand new construction. It's the size of a house. It's fucking beautiful.
That's what I want. Right.
But I don't have to worry about my siding. I don't have to worry about my roof. Because it's new construction too. Everything's on warranty for, you know, get like a year out of your major like structural stuff. And
so this is doable. We could actually do this.
Oh, for sure, dude. For sure. Assuming you have like base minimum is like a 640 credit score.
I got beyond that.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say most people, stuff though. It depends how bad, dude, I was terrible with credit. Like I was terrible in my younger 20s.
Yeah, funny enough, like again, like I have like a credit card I've never missed a payment on. I've phenomenal renter's history over the course of the years.
I see you being like a very responsible.
Oh, dude, I live by a goddamn Google Calendar, bro.
All right, like, so here's you when I was at your age, and like even when you were 21, you were here, and I was like down here, dude, because I was a fucking idiot.
Yeah, so, bro, I've been pretty chill my whole life.
It took me a while. It took me a while to figure out how to be an adult. I'll say that.
We'll end it on that. I appreciate your time, Nate. I really do.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. It was good catching up, man.
Yeah, no worries. I'll talk to you soon, bro. We're gonna talk about this fucking house soon, or the condo. Okay. We're gonna talk about this.
Yes, absolutely, dude. You know, all right, I'm down.
Good shit.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Kev's Perspective this week. I greatly appreciate every listener I can get. Please go follow me on YouTube, K-E-V-S Perspective, or get at me on Instagram, K-E-V-L-O-E Official. If you want to go to YouTube to see the visual, if you want to get at me for Instagram to see, again, any kind of guests, any kind of topics you want revolving around the music industry, please get at me for those questions. Again, thank you for tuning in. Have a great day. It's crazy.